homes, and I believe that He is in our homes, working and trying to make us ever more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just want to quickly just extend greetings from Mr. Hillier, our principal, Chuck Wins, and my wife's probably reminding me to take, there you go, I remembered my beard. Oh yes, by the way, November continued into December, so my wife said, just let it grow. I said, okay, talking about growing. So on behalf of Mr. Fillier and Mrs. Brown, who is our assistant principal, I bring greetings from Chinook Winds. As you well know, that Chinook Winds at this time is half there. Well, probably more than half there. Our secondary students are, of course, online school. And we're already, the teachers know very well how to do that. But as I was going through the classrooms this week, I could see the secondary teachers, they were not happy. Their kids weren't there. The laughter, and let's be real, they were on the classes, but every now and then a teacher would mention to me, I think Mrs. Kelly was one of them, said that she could tell that a student was laughing, but she knew that something she said wasn't enough to make that student laugh. And so Mrs. Kelly, being the wonderful teacher she is, she made a lovely comment to that student and just waking them up to pay attention to this portion of the screen where she was teaching that. You know, the Holy Spirit amazing things at our school. This week, I know Mr. Fillier, actually the last couple weeks, Mr. Fillier and I were discussing over a few different issues, and one of the things that is, as we're coming at a very complicated time, is of course finances. And for certain families, there was some big challenges with the finances, and I just want to share a miracle story. And it was week before, actually, we had some money, $2,700, was able to take care of family. And then this week, it was, I think, Wednesday morning, Bruce and I were chatting, and we said, I don't know what we're going to do with three families. They're just behind. And but Mr. Fillier has a heart, as I believe many of the students, like, they're here, God will provide. And that afternoon, as I crisscrossed with Mr. Fillier, he said, a miracle story? Really? Yep. Someone had come into the school, dropped a very significant size check that covered practically those three families' accounts. God is in the business of working miracles, amen? And He's in the business of working a miracle right in your life and mine. And for those of you who are watching online today, happy Sabbath. So glad that you're here. We know you've already been blessed by everything that's been going on this morning. This church is a light, a beacon here in this community, serving and encouraging and lifting up. You know, I just wanted to read a couple verses that I'm going to be using as a springboard into my message. And it's found in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I chose the title this morning, Transformed by the Word. You can read these with me. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not dead. We're alive. We're here. We're serving the Lord in a living fashion. And then it says, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So the Apostle Paul is really talking to us and saying, this is reasonable for us as Christians. We need to be giving our lives a living sacrifice. Not in a, oh, I've got to do this. I've got to come to church, Pastor. Have to hear Pastor Gannon again. He's an amazing preacher and an amazing friend. But you know, the reality is that we come because the Holy Spirit calls us. But there may be some who are here or watching, because your parents are forcing you, that you're just kind of there. But I just want to encourage you this morning that I believe this message will touch your heart in a very special way. Not because I'm preaching it, but because I know the Holy Spirit has a message for all of us. In the world in which we're living, things are very chaotic. So, The Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, and do not be, what is it, the word? Conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are our minds renewed? They're renewed by spending time in the Word of God, by getting to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior more and more. And it's interesting because it says that you may prove, see what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we spend more time in the Word of God, we will know the way in which we must go, because we will be aligning our hearts and minds to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The next verse I wanted to use quickly is found in Hebrews 4:12, where it says this, for the Word of God is living and... Okay, let's try that again from the top. For the Word of God is living and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As we spend time in the Word of God, our lives will be carved and pruned and shaved, and things we thought were important, the Holy Spirit will show us are not important. But the more time we spend looking at the Word of God and seeing Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, our hearts will be melted. We will see Him for who He truly is. You know, this morning, it was about 2001, and we were pastoring up in Northwest British Columbia, in Terrace, B.C. In fact, one of our churches was Stewart's, B.C., which actually borders Hyder, Alaska. I don't know if anyone's ever been to Hyder, Alaska here. No? All right. Let me just sort of do that online. Anyways, it's up there. If I was to drive it straight from Vancouver, you drive pretty much 9 hours to Prince George, and then you got to drive another 7.5 to get to Stewart, 6 to Terrace. It's a little bit of a drive. And we stayed there for 2.5 years, and when we were up in Terrace, we found something very interesting. We learned something interesting. That those who are allergic to the sunlight, Pastor Gena, there are people who are allergic to the sunlight. They move to Prince Rupert, British Columbia, which is only an hour away from Terrace, where we were living, because it rains. Where's Melissa now? It rains. I would wake up in the morning and Raquel would ask me, what's the weather like? I said, you got 4 options. It's raining, it's drizzling, cloudy, and it's bald terrain. You make your choice. In the 2.5 years that we were living there, we had 2.5 months of sun. 2.5 months. The people in Terrace said, Pastor, this is not normal. It's, oh, it's, the rain doesn't bother us, but it was beginning to bother them. Those 2.5 years were very dreary with the weather. And when the weather's dreary, it actually makes you feel dreary. And it was interesting because those same members that said, oh, the weather doesn't bother us, they were getting dreary. They were tired. And I just wonder how many of us sometimes feel dreary. I remember one specific morning up in Terrace that I woke up in the morning and I had this overwhelming sense that I needed to do my devotionals. Now, that would seem strange because a pastor better do his devotionals. If anyone in the church, he better. And I always did. But that sense came to me very strongly. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do my devotionals. And anyways, one thing led to another, and I was a little bit late to get to the office, and so I said, I'm going to do it when I get to the office. If no one would be there, and so I got there with my Bible and my lesson in hand, and the church secretary was there, and the questions started coming. Pastor Gavin, I didn't do worship. And I didn't, and in my mind was like, you've got to do worship. And I'm like, okay, Lord. I say this carefully, but finally this church secretary left, and I was able to then say, okay, I'm going to do worship. And then it's like, oh no, I was going to be getting a call from some pastor that we needed to deal with an evangelistic series in about 7 or 8 minutes. So I quickly went into one of the Sabbath school rooms and I kneeled down and I prayed and said, Lord, I know I need to spend time in your word, would you just please forgive me and I'll get to this right away. Well, that phone call turned into noon. I quickly ran home. I prepared a quick something, a bite to eat, and then I quickly brought my Bible, my lesson, I plopped it on the table with my food beside me. You see where this is going, don't you? Ring, ring, the day the phone still did that. And I quickly then went, answered the phone, and I spent the next 45 minutes on the phone call trying to figure out with one of the members who was going to cut the grass. All the while in my mind, I was feeling overwhelmingly that I needed to spend time with God. You see, we pastors are tempted, just like you, to push worship aside. But if we are going to be transformed and renewed, it isn't in our strength. It's not by strength nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And the Spirit was strongly talking to me. That 45-minute call ended. I worked down my food, grabbed my Bible and my Sabbath school lesson, and was now headed to Kitimat, which is a 45-minute drive, normal driving. Up there, people don't always follow the speed limit because all you most times see are bears and trees and mountains and rivers. And so I was going on, I was just leaving and going up the big hill that goes to the airport and terrace, and I began to feel something I've never felt in my life, and nor have I ever. I began to feel as if my body was shutting down. And I began to sense I was not in control of my vehicle any longer. And I was at 120. I went down to 190, and then 70, then 50, and of course it's a 100-kilometer highway, 40, 30, and I was unable to pull over because the thought was coming to me, Paul, you need to study the Word. You need to spend time with Him. And I was like, but I can't now, Lord. And why couldn't I? It was wintertime, and the snow was piled high on the side of the road. There was no shoulder for me to go on this highway now. I was driving 25 kilometers an hour, and I thought I was going to have an accident. I was unable to drive. And finally, I said, this is crazy. And I had this little old RAV4, the old style RAV4s with a little two-liter engine. What a weak thing. I didn't like that thing. I sold it 2.5 years later. What a waste of money. Never buy a new car again in my life. But anyways, there I was. I pulled that car over, and the car was like this. Grabbed my Bible, and for the next several, well, about a half an hour, I just opened the lesson, and I started reading. After that, I closed my Bible, I prayed, and I was able to drive more again. Weird. Strange. Why? What was God trying to tell me and teach me that day? That I am alive because of Him. He is the creator, the sustainer, and the author and finisher of my faith and your faith, and King Jesus is working, and He's up and down the aisles right here today at this church saying, I love you. Will you come and sup with me? You see, He doesn't come barging in like the enemy of our souls. He comes knocking. And the Holy Spirit says, come, come. That day, it took something drastic to wake me up to the reality. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. It says that in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. I always looked at that. The joy that was set before Him. The joy to go to the cross was agony. This morning in my devotionals, I spent time in John 19, 20 there. Crucifixion of Jesus. I'm just going over those moments. And here where the Apostle Paul says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are transformed by the Word of God. Why? Simply because we look to Him. You know, Pastor Gannon recently preached on this, but I just have to hit on it again. And you might wonder why sometimes we preachers hit on things over and over again. It's because we hear stories of divorce. We're dealing with them. We're dealing with stories of this, that, and everything. And so we need to be reminded, just like the fourth commandment starts with what word? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In this word text here in Deuteronomy 6, it says this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. How are we ever going to do that if we don't spend time in the Word of God daily? And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Is the Word of God in your heart? Are you studying to get to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, more and more? And then it says this: You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, wherever we are, we should be talking about Jesus. Morning, we worship with our children. In the evening, we all climb on top of our bed and we read the Word of God with devotional thought. We talk about what was your low today, or did you have a low today? What was your high today? What can you be thankful to God for today? It's a time for families to connect, to stop the rush of life and be there for each other. It says, You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. We need to make sure we are connected to God. We need to make sure that we are imprinting the Word of God in our minds. I think of the fact of when mothers finally are pregnant, and I've seen this, I've heard this, I've watched videos on this, they start talking to the little baby. They haven't even seen the little baby. In fact, you know, at 2 months, it's probably not the most beautiful thing we've seen what they look like, but they're still alive, and they're still children of God. It's a miracle, isn't it? But I've seen mothers because, well, my wife did it, so did I. There we were, singing to little Mateos and little Mika, reading the Word of God, worshiping with them, imprinting at that age the Word of God. And we as adults must imprint the Word of God in our hearts and our minds. We need to make sure that happens. You know, there was a study done by Newberg and Waldman in their book entitled How God Changes the Brain. And they took, it says here, subjects to contemplate a God of love for 12 minutes a day for 30 days. So for just 12 minutes a day for 30 days, they just got a bunch of people together. And they found after 30 days, they were actually able to scan that the frontal lobe associated with empathy and altruism grew measurably. Wow. Now we're going to look at some more studies in closer to the end of this message. But I just wanted us to quickly think about that. Our frontal lobes grow by contemplating the Word of God, by reading it. So we know that if our frontal lobes grow, we can understand why the enemy is doing everything in his power to distract us from spending time and contemplating the Word of God. Many distractions. Probably one of the greatest distractions that he creates now is media. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time with this. I know many of us have talked. We have Scott and Seema here already. But you know, when we think about this, it's the reality that prolonged exposure to media, that it actually teaches our children and us to be superficial. It is forming people who are non-committed, with little to no roots with our identity and our faith. It is forming a people who are always in a rush. Always in a rush. People who are unable to easily concentrate and reflect on something other than a screen. Now, I want to encourage you, many of you probably use your devices for reading the Word of God and stuff, but you know there is something to be said, and science is already proving that we learn better by reading an actual physical book. I encourage you to go back to that Bible that you have, maybe it was given to you at your baptism, I don't know, and open it up. Go with a highlighter. Start highlighting the Word of God. Start going with a ruler and a pen and highlight those verses that are popping out to your hearts. You know, it's very interesting. I think many of us have heard of George Barna and the research group, the research that they do, the Christian community. And he found this, that the majority of Americans, I would say the majority of the world now that's connected to the media, qualify for having an addiction to media use or media exposure. Is that you? Is that me? Why? Why would we spend 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours or more a day on media? Well, I believe that for some, it is an escape mechanism to run from the deeper wounds, things that are hurting, and unable to really know how to cope, they escape to media. You know what? I think probably many of us have done that. And sometimes the problems and the things that we face, we look at what we're going through right now, folks, which is not easy. There's a lot of loneliness, depression. You probably heard already, like the lines, the youth help lines, the psychologists that are set there by the government, whatever, they're being bombarded. And those psychologists and therapists are feeling swamped themselves. This message this morning is very, very important. Whether we are 1 year old or 100 years old. I believe the problem that we go to media to is the reality that it was created to become addicted to. Right? We know that. It's all about money. The reality is that we spend a few hours watching TV, or video games, or whatever they may be. Do we feel better or worse, happier or more empty after that time? It's obvious. We feel more depressed, we feel more unsatiated, like we've been drinking salt water and it wasn't quenching our thirst. You know, there's a famous British philosopher who has passed in 1970. Bertrand Russell is a philosopher, mathematician, historian, writer, social critic, and political activist. He was born a Christian and died an atheist, and he had this word to say. I doubt whether perhaps the most important of all the modern agents of propaganda is the cinema. It could really be our TVs today, our devices. Leading to the almost worldwide uniformity, the great majority of young people in almost all civilized countries. Now remember, he died in 1970. I don't know if that just qualified young people anymore. In almost all civilized countries, derive their ideas of love, of honor, of the way to make money, and of the importance of good clothes from the evening spent in seeing what Hollywood thinks good for them. It's pretty significant, isn't it? Bertrand Russell, born a Christian, died an atheist. He then said this that was very alarming for us as a Christian group. I doubt whether all the churches and schools combined have as much influence as the cinema on the opinion of the young. The producers of Hollywood are the high priests of a new religion. The media there's a lot of wonderful things on media. I think all of us can say that. We have probably seen very good, touching stories that have moved us to want to change in our lives. But a lot of stuff that's out there is not positive. You know, there's a lot of things, as I said, that the enemy's using to point us away from God. Ellen White has some important things to say in the book Education for Us. She says this, read it with me, please. He who with sincere and teachable spirit studies God's word, seeking to comprehend its truths, will be brought in touch with its author. And except by his own choice, there is no limit to the possibilities of his development. It's endless of how we can grow as we spend time with Jesus. Then Ellen White says this, no one can engage in such study without developing mental power. Our brains are strengthened just like the two men have realized in their study. Then it says this, created to find in God his highest joy, he can find in nothing else. What does it say? He can find in nothing else that which can quiet the cravings of the heart, can satisfy the hunger and thirst of the soul. We come home, we're tired, we're empty. We grab a bite to eat, we turn on the TV, hoping that it will satiate the emptiness or the anger or the frustration, or just put us to sleep, put us in a stupor to be able to survive. God has not created us to just survive. He has created us to thrive. But we can only thrive as we spend time with our living Lord and Savior. Then it says this, no other study can impart such mental power as does the effort to grasp. Did you get it? To grasp. If we're going to grasp the Word of God, it's not a 5-minute zoom through the Word of God. It is actually carving out time every morning, specifically in the morning, with Jesus, and grasp the stupendous truths of Revelation. The mind that's brought in contact with the thoughts of the infinite cannot but expand in strength. Wow. The more time we study the Word of God, the more the Holy Spirit will bring us closer to the author and finisher of our faith. The more we will understand how special we are, that we were created with a plan in mind, that we have a purpose for our existence today. We know what God's Word is teaching, the morals, what is right and what is wrong. We know that with the commandments of God. Know that it's there not to thou shalt not, but it's there to protect us from what our selfish hearts yearn to do when we are far from the Lord. And finally, we are reminded of our destiny when King Jesus comes in the clouds of glory to take us home. Oh yes, the Word of God is powerful. You know, Lee Benton is don't say it's all about Jesus. If you haven't seen, go on YouTube and look up Lee Benton, All About Jesus. And it's a powerful, I don't know how many nights, but it's worthwhile watching. Many times when I listen to sermons on YouTube, I go there in a little setting style, and I go 1.25. If the speaker's slow, I go 1.5 speed, and if he's really slow speaking, I go 1.75 speed. You know what I'm saying? I don't have time to listen to a 40-minute sermon at a slow pace. I'm going to listen to it faster. Well, I'm not going to speak to you that fast this morning. You're going to have to listen to me speaking a little bit slower. But if you want to get some stuff in, that's one way to be able to listen to it. Lee Benton says it's all about Jesus. I remember when I was studying at Andrews University, Raquel and I, we were there from 97 to 99. They were very special years. We loved being there. And did a lot of growing there. I remember in one of my classes, we were studying about world religions. And the teacher said, we're going to go up to a Hindu temple one day. I said, okay. So we finally went. We got there. It was evening. Started touring around. And we came to the center part of that Hindu temple. It wasn't very big, but the center part, it was like a table. And then there was like the shrine above. But at the table below, front and center, was a picture I never would have imagined. It was a picture of Jesus, yes. So we said it. And we said, what? And although they do not revere Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as God, they do revere him as a very special man who made a significant change in humanity. Now catch where we're going now. W.E.H. Lecky was a great Irish historian, but a skeptic himself. In his book, The History of European Morals, from Augustus to Charlemagne, he makes this comment of Jesus. He says this: the character of Jesus has not only been the highest pattern of virtue, but the strongest incentive in its practice. You getting it? You understand what's happening here? It's not just the highest pattern of virtue that we must attain to, but it's the strongest incentive. It's what encourages us to practice Christianity, and has exerted so deep an influence that it may be truly said that the simple record of 3 short years of active life referring to Jesus has done more to regenerate and soften mankind than all the disquisitions, all the essays and the talks of philosophers, and all the exhortations of moralists. Now, this is someone obviously who was not a Christian. He's saying, look at, Jesus had a very significant role in this world. And it's interesting. F.F. Bruce said this. He was a very famous New Testament theologian. And he said, that is a non-Christian, or at least non-distinctly Christian judgment, referring to E.H. Locke's comment, of one sense, in that Jesus is not merely just a historical figure, and he says this, but also a eternal contemporary. And then he says, his influence lives on. His influence lives on because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who is in this place right now and who is in the room where you are right now, my brother and my sister. The world has seen that Jesus is significant, but many have not accepted him yet as their Lord and their Savior. I remember when I left the world of rock and roll, I was just a teenager, of course. I kind of already told this story before. And I finally landed on a Christian radio station. It was KLYN 106.5 in Bellingham, Washington. And I was there, and I began listening to, of course, a Christian artist at the time. I let go of rock because of listening to a Christian song, Gone, God Alone. And anyways, long story short, I remember every now and then hearing from a talk show evangelist, and whose name was Woodrow Kroll. And when he would come on, he would just talk about the Bible. And just interesting things that he would say. Of course, he wasn't Adventist, but it was very interesting for me, a 15, 16-year-old, to be listening to this evangelical pastor. And he said this: read the Bible for instruction. Read it for inspiration. Read it for insight. Read it out of duty. Read it out of curiosity. Read it out of wonder. Whatever you do, read it. Not to read the Bible is to misunderstand God's mind and miss his heart. Oh, man. Brothers and sisters, you know there's a lot of faithful followers outside this Adventist church. Remember, this church hasn't been here that long. If you look at the history of this world, Jesus is working all around the world in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. I came across a study about 3 months ago that blew me away. And I think it's going to blow you away of the importance of the Word of God. You ready? Can I move on? In the Center of Bible Engagements, it's a ministry that you can actually go online and see. A ministry that was started to encourage people to read the Bible. They began to survey Christians. And they surveyed 100,000 people. This is just recent stuff that I've looked at. And what came out from the ages of 8 to 80, they were surveying the people. And in their study, they found out by chance, something extremely significant that was not even what they were looking for. Interesting how that happens. And he found this: those who read the Bible only once a week likely only at church on the Sabbath day, had little change in their life. Those who read the Bible two times a week had no difference or change in their life. Now catch this one. Those who read the Bible three times a week, they noticed a small change as if a small heartbeat began. Now, pay attention. However, at day four, there was a significant spike and change in the people's lives. Then they said this. A key discovery from the Center for Bible Engagement Research is that the life of someone who engages Scripture four or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. In fact, the lives of Christians who do not engage the Bible most days of the week are statistically the same as the lives of non-believers. Seventh-day Adventists, are we known for people who read the Word of God? We are, but I'll be honest, we become very lazy. The study now continues. For those who read the Bible four times or more a week, I want you to catch the statistic. You want to take your phones out, you can get them out, get them, get the shot at the end. Okay, I'll tell you when you get the shot. That the Bible is read four more times a week, the feeling of loneliness dropped by 30%. The feelings of anger dropped by 32%. The feeling of bitterness with spouse and children dropped by 40%. This is significant. If you are thinking of divorce right now, I want to tell you, just go to the Word of God. Where are you going to go? You fell in love with your wife or with your husband before. I believe that with the Word of God at the center of your life, the Lord Jesus will work a miracle in your marriage again. And you will cause that first love to be grown again. Because to truly love, as Christians should love, we need to look to the love of Jesus with agape. And we know that there's a different loves. There's storge love, brotherhood love, one that we can feel towards each other. There's filial love, brotherly love, siblings. And then there's eros love, which is sexual love. If you do not have the agape love of Jesus Christ, all the other will not be where they should be, because they are founded on worldly standards and not on godly standards. Then it says this, the problem of substance abuse dropped 57%. Now, by the way, these are Christians that they are surveying. Do I believe there's substance abuse going on right now in this church? Yes. Every type of sin we're going through, we're simple human beings, aren't we? We know our hearts. We struggle. But as we look at what the Word of God says, when the Word of God says it is living, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern the thoughts and the intents, oh man, we need to spend time with it because it is all about Jesus wanting to come into our hearts and change us to show us that the world's ways are empty and lead to destruction. But His ways are eternal. And He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way, and He loves you and has a purpose for your life. Are you feeling some of these things that we're looking at right now on the screen? Let's move on. Are you feeling spiritual lethargy? That God's far from you? The question is simple. Are you reading the Bible? Are you really reading the Bible at least four times a week or more? Very simple. They found this. By simply reading the Bible four times or more a week, those feelings of spiritual lethargy will drop. Why? Because you're connected to the Word of God.
You're going to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't know where the next paycheck is going to come. Some of you have lost your jobs. Some of you are in the valley of uncertainty. My wife and I were just talking to, in connection with a single mother yesterday. She's got nothing in her bank account. Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Nothing. And we need to be there and say, trust Jesus. Trust, read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. But then our trust must have arms, hands, and feet. And there comes my pocketbook. Your pocketbook. We need to be there to help each other. And to trust that together Jesus will get us through. Then we find some more statistics. We don't like to talk about these ones, but we need to. Your propensity for pornography goes down 59%. We like to ignore this issue in the church, but we don't like to talk about it. I'm not going to mention it anymore. We're with children here. Men and women, go to the Word of God. The other thing they found statistically important with this one is that if those individuals who were addicted to this read the Word of God four or more times a week and had an accountability partner, it was considerably much less the issue. Then, your propensity for gambling goes down 74%. Well, we had this to gamble, do we? Boy, that lotto ticket was 30 million. Wow, what would I do with 30 million? Now, let's be honest, I think a lot of us have done that. 3 million would go for time, right? Just tell the conference, it's an anonymous check. The conference would be like, whoa, the Lord sent money. But of course, we'd have to send at least $300,000 for the Calvary Central Church. Oh, we could buy a whole bunch of new things, right, Pastor Gettle? That would be exciting. Mercy, mercy, mercy. We've got to remember the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. We shall not desire to have that which we don't. We just need to say, Lord Jesus, come in my heart and help me to be satisfied where I am today. Help me to grow. Help me with my finances. We do need God's support. It's not easy. Then we go. This one here kind of bothered me a little bit. Even obesity goes down 20%. We won't spend much time here. Can we move on here? Oh, mercy. This is a tough one, Lord. But you know what? Not everything goes down. Some if we look at positive habits and our faith walk, they go up by 200%. Amen? Amen? God is good. We spend time with Him. Our habits will become more an alignment to the love of Jesus Christ. My, oh my. Then, the final one I found was very significant. It says this: if you read the Bible four more times a week, sharing your faith with others will jump up by 200%. Why? Why would it? Why do you think? Because you're spending time with Jesus. He's becoming your friend. He's the one who's saying, Paul, don't go that way. Raquel, don't go that way. Paul, Raquel, you need to do this with your kids. Paul, Raquel, Paul, listen. Raquel, listen to your husband. She's up there. She's up there. I know. You know what? I praise the Lord for my dear wife. I praise the Lord for my cousin Raquel. I got to give you a very special family. And I have learned so much more of the love of God because of my wife. Because of my wife, she has held me accountable many times. I'm good. We Portuguese have a problem. We can become very workaholics. I think some of you understand much. And I could spend so much time in the Word of God, it's like my story in the beginning. Work for God, but leave the worst behind. Isn't that amazing? We can be Sabbath day Adventists, or maybe Sabbath day keepers, but not Seventh day Adventists, living each day waiting for the coming of our Lord and Savior. So when the Word of God says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, you shall talk of them when you sit at your house, When you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The word of God is making it clear. Repeat it over and over and over again, morning and evening, and through the day. It's interesting, that same statistic with the Center of Bible Engagement in that issue that we're talking about, porn there, it actually shows that men and women addicted who read the Word of God, just a little snippet, during the day, have way more strength to resist. All throughout the day. I'm not talking about spend another half an hour. No, 5 minutes, open the Word of God, right there in the workplace. Maybe you're headed to the washroom. You know, you can lock that door and hide in there for a second. And just leave you to read the Word of God where no one can bother you. Then it says this. I kind of got my spine backwards here. The Word of God says, here it is. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, teaching us the way, teaching us the life, that the man and the woman of God may be complete. I like that word, complete. Happy, content, satisfied, satiated, feeling with purpose in their life, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the verse I didn't read before was this one. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Some years ago, as I was trying to figure out some ways to be able to help the church and being able to understand how to teach the Bible, how people can read the Bible, and it's very funny, and my daughter always said, don't use me as an illustration. But recently, you know, she started in Genesis, I don't know, about a year ago, and Exodus, and she hit Leviticus, and she said, Daddy, this is, I don't think I need to tell you. It's so many different things I don't understand. And sometimes the Word of God can be complicated, right? We just don't understand it. And so, I came across this study by Dr. James Brown, who developed some techniques that assist us in the study of the Word of God. I'm just going to zoom back because I don't know what I did with my slides. But the first slide is this. When you're reading the Word of God, let's say you're going to read John chapter 14, talking about the second coming, and I'm the way, the truth, the life. Anyway, so if we read that chapter together, read it with your family, or you read it by yourself, and he says the first technique in studying the Bible is, what did you like? Second is, what did you not like? Third is, what didn't you understand? And then, what did you learn about God? And then, what should you do now? Okay, you want me to take a picture of that? This is one of Braga's first techniques. All right? What should you do now? All right. And then the final one. Sorry, I missed that one here. Can you have these in me? Don't ask me why I've bridged my sermon today. Well, I know why, but anyways. So the final one is, what line thoughts are you holding on to? What did you go and underline, highlight in the Word of God at that moment? All right? You got it? Next. Second technique. What life principle have you learned from the text? Paraphrase in your own words what you just read. What problems or struggles were helped? If you do not obey this life principle, what will you suffer? And the final one is, what plan of action will you implement with what you have now learned? All right? I heard some of the clicks there, the phones. Brothers and sisters, we need to be diligent as we are getting to know the Lord more and more. The devil's trying to do everything to distract us. You know, I remember when my father was still alive, he was, when he came to Canada, he ended up becoming a very good chef. He could cook everything, clean and unclean at that time. And I remember in the kitchen, he would have that knife sharpener, and he would go, and sharpen that knife, and then be able to cut into those cuts of meat or whatever he was cutting. At the time, we need to be diligent and studying the Word of God, digging into it. And with this final story, St. John Baptist Church was built in 1902 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to serve a growing community of immigrants from Ireland and Scotland. This beautiful cathedral was serving its purpose for its existence. It helped hundreds of families during the First and Second World Wars, distributed food, imperishable food, during the Depression years, opened its doors to those who lost everything during a flood in 1936. This is St. John Baptist Church. As the years went by, the community around the church changed, and that magnificent temple somehow lost its relevance. In 1993, after 91 years of serving the community, St. John Baptist Church closed its doors. Now, this is not just the story of this one church. There are over about 1,000 churches every year that close their doors or more in North America. Why? They've lost their relevance. Our relevance is found and based solely on sola scriptura, the Bible and the Bible alone. If you are not reading the Word of God, you will lose your relevance. You will leave the church sooner or later. By the grace of God, you'll come back. But we lose our focus. I'm not trying to be a prophet or say I'm not. But if we're not in the Word of God, only read it once a week, when the problems come, and they do, we will lose our way. The story of that church did not end. As the years went by, we know in 1993, after 91 years of serving the community, St. John Baptist Church closed its doors. Today, the building no longer houses the church. No. It has become the Church Brew Works. What? Brewing? Yeah, the brew liquor. It's a pub, folks. It's a pub. It sells drinking and entertainment. The place still maintains its church structure. From the outside, it looks like a church. From the inside, the church structure is still visible with all the columns, the beautiful stained glass windows, and even the remodeled pews. However, it no longer serves as a place of spiritual nourishment for the community that reached like it did when its forefathers built it. It lost its relevance because the members walked away slowly but surely from the Word of God. And let's not just show this church. Let's talk about this temple right here. Where are we with Jesus Christ? What was once a relevant church became a community pub. Jesus clearly stated that his church would not be overcome. More and more churches are closing every day around the world. Might smell like a church. Might look like a church. I might be a Christian. I might say I'm a Christian. But am I a Christian who really spends time? Jesus is calling you and I to come. Will we come? Will we follow? You know, there's a song that I love. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer alone and tempest tossed. No storm can hide that peaceful radiant beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining. You like that? Law and love combining. binding till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words of pre-Jesus spoken. Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior's near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall light me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combine, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp of safety o'er the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till light shall vanish in eternal day. Jesus is calling. And he speaks through his word. His Holy Spirit is reaching to you and me today. Will we spend time with him? Let's come. Stand with him. O Lord, our God, our King, our Savior divine, we worship you this morning. And we ask that you would change our hearts, that you would help us with the addictions that we face, and that you would give us diligence, give us determination to open your word daily, so that our minds will be renewed by the transforming of our minds because of you and you alone. I pray for each person here. I pray for this church family, our leadership. We want to pray for those who are listening this morning that you will bless and keep each of us, that we would be faithful to you, faithful in reading your word. And this we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And everyone said, amen.